We can approach God Himself, and we can find such a near guardian that if we can live in His presence, as family man, we can live with Him, with God Himself. God is our family head. That is the family. Sometimes sonhood, sometimes consorthood, fatherhood. Somewhere fatherhood, somewhere consorthood, somewhere sonhood, friendhood. In different respects, the God may deal very familiarly with every soul, as is very near and dear, very close. Family like family man. But in Bible he's far off. He's our well-wisher. He supplies for our necessary things. He is good and great. God is good and great. Great and good. But far off. But here Krishna consciousness says, I will come to live with you as your intimate friend in different forms. This is the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam that is more deeper than Bible has stated. The Bible is not antagonistic, not enemy. But a friend in the way. Bible is our friend in the way, not in the goal. The goal is Krishna consciousness. Krishna. The father as Krishna. And as Krishna, he is sometimes son, he is sometimes consort, sometimes friend, sometimes master. In different stages, he accepts us and our service very intimately, very lovingly, very sweetly. Love, sweetness, beauty, charm, similar things. And he represents them. He's charming, he's sweet, he's beautiful. His loving embrace. The ultimate reality is such. Our own heart of heart is He. He is the heart of our heart. Paramatma.
Goes on to say, according to this, it is more than just eternal. Normally, sat means eternal. Is that true?
Yeah.
So, but here he says it has no meaning if devoid of relationship with the jivas. Then he says, is this connotation correct? Secondly, the latter part of the statement that Brahman was without perception seems impersonal. Is this the correct meaning? And he goes on, I have read one of the Gaudiya's yearly souvenirs where they criticize young men and women dancing in so-called ecstasy throughout the streets of Western cities. In our coming up issue, that I have tried to explain the reason we all danced through the streets in the West, or for that matter, danced at all, being because our guru instructed us in that way, and that our dancing is not seen as raganuga but as Vaidhi Bhakti. Am I incorrect in taking such a stance? I can see the Gaudiya's criticism. I think that they feel that our dancing is a false thing or imitation. But if we claimed to be in samadhi, they would be absolutely right. But I do not think that we have ever claimed or implied such. Can you advise, Maharaj? Yes, that's... No, you want me to finish the letter?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. He's saying, another item I read in the Gaudiya was that at the ceremony honoring Bun Maharaj's life following his passing, there were some words of praise written by your divine grace about the activities of his divine grace. I wanted to know if you would mind sharing those plaudits with us. By your grace, somehow I am surviving, even growing. But due to my past activities and conditioning, it is a very painful experience. At the same time, the only experience worth having. So, my indebtedness to you is complete. I am bankrupt and I have nothing to give. But your sweetness lingers within me, and I cannot fathom how I have come upon such divine grace. And I am praying to Mahaprabhu, please give me something that I can give to your divine grace. You are the possessor of everything, my Lord, and I am merely asking that you bless me with some aspect of your indefatigable opulence so that I may, in some small way, make an effort to please my Gurudev. Without your mercy, I am a useless fool. Even with your mercy, I am a useless fool. But at least, I can be the agent of some of your value-ridden transcendental jewels for the pleasure of my Gurudev. In this way, I am begging for Mahaprabhu's supreme mercy. First, I begged from Srila Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, then from Srila Hansaduta, then from your divine grace. And now I am begging and begging and begging again, even of the unapproachable, for me, Supreme Personality, Sriman Mahaprabhu. I think I am nothing but a mercy wala.
Huh? Nothing but that?
A mercy wala.
Wala is
merchant.
Hankering for mercy.
Oh, yes, hankering for mercy. All I can do is take. I cannot give one pice. So actually, I cannot call myself a mercy wala. He would at least sell mercy. I am a mercy thief. All dandavats to you, Sri Gurudev, Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev, Goswami Maharaj, your useless dacoit, Dayadhar Garanga Das. Finished.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Ayurveka Ganandaha Deen Mukhe Uhudha Santala Dukha Varshini Bhagavan Bhava Durdine Pata Sakhalitam Mam Avaloka Yachuta.
Acha.
Today in England.
Sarvam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankhayam tasma dikshit isha prokta deshi prish tattva kobi. A spiritual specialist, they say, what is diksha? That is a process through which the spiritual knowledge is imparted. Dibbam jnanam yato dadyat. So new knowledge, new estimation about the environment, about the world, awakens in one's heart. New vision, new angle of vision arises within. What is saw that is false, Maya, and what is reality, to want to realize that, to realize the reality. And kujyat pāpasya saṅkhayam. And what the reaction was due to me for my false calculation and activity as a result of that false calculation. These things are cleared up. Pāpasya. Pāp means the reaction I acquired due to my false estimation and the transaction with the environment. That is cleared when I get the real estimation of the environment, of the world outside. This is the result of diksha, dibhogyan. Not knowledge from my standpoint, my narrow standpoint, but the standpoint of the most wide view. I see with my narrow selfish outlook. We must get rid of that false notion of selfish enterprise and replace that by the proper, true estimation of the environment, of the world outside. And accordingly we shall learn to make transaction with the world. This is diksha. And with that, being that, we have to understand what is the nature of the world we are living in. We are not masters, what we see. I am not mala, kapal, I sadhi. This is totally wrong, downright falsehood. But there is some monarch. We are not monarchs, I am not monarch. The monarch is there. And I am also within his survey. I am monarch of all I survey. I am not surveyor, but I am an object of being surveyed. The world is being surveyed and I am a part of this world. I am also being surveyed by the monarch of the world. And what is the result of that survey? To know. To know that and go on accordingly, to learn to go on accordingly, according to the instruction of the surveyor proper, absolute surveyor. That is diksha, dibhogyanam, dibhogyanam. Divine knowledge, dibhogyan. What is divine knowledge? Isha avashmayam sadbhag. Not only it is false that I am the owner, but none is owner, but only one master, Ishavasya. Not one, neither many. One, but not myself. Who is the master of the whole, that is God, Lord, Krishna. Not only the world belongs to him, but we also belong to him. This knowledge. What are we? We are slaves. to the master of the world. Divi Sarupai Krishna Nityada. To feel that this is the truth. I am very small, insignificant. Very insignificant. My condition is very pitiful. I have to crave mercy, to crave help from the high for my misguided life, misunderstood life. All these things are being dealt every day. This is the purpose of getting diksha, dibhagya. Dibhagya, to do away with our local experience and to invite the perspective, the estimation from the center, the surveyor of the from the center, what is what, to be introduced newly to the environment, to forget my previous estimation and to invite the new estimation about the thing and to go on accordingly, to control my conduct accordingly, that what we see around us that has got owner, not ownerless, neither I am owner of them, neither I am owner of what I see, what I survey, at the same time, none is owner who are like myself. One owner there is, and he is also my owner. Now how to go on then? Mathematical calculation. This is also property, I am also property. I am his servant, this is his sarvastra. According to the master's will, I am to deal with all. That is serving. The Lord is to be served, not to be enjoyed. And his things are also to be served, not to be enjoyed. That will be the deduction. That will be deduced from the Bhagyan. I am a serving unit in this world. Neither I can thrive by renunciation, no right to renounce. A slave cannot make any strike that I won't do the work. No. You are bound to do your duty. Neither you can go on with the work according to your own whim, nor you can strike. You say that I won't cooperate. No. Only one side open, that you must have to discharge your duty. If you do not do that, you commit offense. And offense means punishable. You will be punished. The fact is so stark, the reality is so cruel. We have no independence of our own. We must not think that we are owner. At the same time, we cannot think that we are owner of our own self. That, according to my will, I can deal with my environment. No. You are bound, you are duty bound to treat your environment in a particular way, in a reverential, in a serving way. Then you are normal. Otherwise you are abnormal. You are abnormal and you are to be punished. That is aparadha offense. Seva. Neither bhog nor tag. Neither enjoyment nor renunciation. No right. No right to enjoy, no right to renounce. Non-cooperate, cooperate not. But only one side open. That is to serve. And we are to face with this cruel reality. At first it may seem to be cruel, to be rough, cruel. But if we can understand the purpose in it, underline, then we shall gradually find that this is only the key to happy life. Neither self-aggrandizement with the help of the others, wanting to live on others' energy, that is insulting, that is cowardice, improper. But because we cannot utilize it only for my selfish purpose, so I must leave it. That is also not honorable, not justifiable. We are living together. We must have some sort of duty towards my environment. I cannot see me a cut-up thing from the environment. An organic whole, the parts are correlated. So we have got also a correlation with our environment, with our four sides, things. This is natural. We are a part of organic whole. And we have got our respective duty to one another. Just as our this body, one part has got some duty to discharge for the whole and through that to every part. So neither bhog nor tago, like the Jnanis, the Buddhists, the Shankarais, the Tagi, neither their formula or estimation is right, nor the exploitationist, whatever I see it is for me, I am a monarch of all I serve. That view is also not true. To understand this deeply, Dayadhar Gauranga is a good scholar, but he's perplexed, nonplussed almost, to understand. Intellect, he is a doctor, research scholar, but intellect is not sufficient to make us understand all these difficulties of this life. Not only reading from the scriptures independently, independent reading of the scriptures cannot impart us the necessary light to understand the things contained in the books of scriptures. Jaha Bhagavat para Vaishnavisthan. Mahaprabhu says, go and read, study Bhagavat from a Vaishnava. Try to get the angle of vision from him. तद्विद्धि परिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानं ज्ञानिनः तत्त्वदर्शिनः आचार्यमान पुरुषो वेद. यू मस्ट हैव एन आचार्य इफ यू वांट टू स्टडी दैट रिवील्ड स्क्रिप्चर्स. यू कांट स्टडी इट अलोन इंडिपेंडेंटली, नॉट इन एम्पिरिकल वे दैट वी विल बी एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड. Only in the descending method it is possible. It comes in a descending method, that knowledge. And that does not depend on our literary education. A literate man will understand more, and the ordinary illiterate person, he won't be able to understand spiritual truth, not that. Illiterate can understand, and illiterate may fail to understand. Independent of this worldly scholarship, that is, only paripat, paripasana, seva, serving attitude, surrender, these things are necessary to be illuminated by the higher revealed truth. From Guru, from Vaishnava, through them it will come down to my heart, then to my brain, or really to in my soul. Soul will be awakened, soul's body will grow. I shall see it come out from the bondage. In this way, Vibhagyan Dikha means all these things. To engage oneself in the quest of the revealed truth through particular process. Panipat Paripasana Seva. Surrender, honest inquiry, and solving attitude. We can acquire that sort of knowledge, understanding. And we have to adjust us accordingly to get the benefit of Diksha. It is not a mere formal thing. It is not this that only we shall repeat the mantra I have got. But the mantra wants to say something. He has got its meaning. And he wants to say something to me. And ask me to do that. And I shall have to do that, then I shall get the desired result. The purpose of Diksha will be fulfilled. But mere repetition of a few technical sounds, that does not finish Diksha. Diksha, knowledge is transmitted, and you must utilize that sort of knowledge in favor of your realization of higher life, real life, proper life, and eternal life, life after death, life after so many death also. This will continue, eternal knowledge. Eternal knowledge of the eternal soul, about the eternity. Both the knower and the known and the knowing. These three things are eternal. He will find himself that I am an eternal part, part of this world, and there is eternity also. I am a part of that. And eternal relationship is also there. And from that relation, so many functions, so many activities are presupposed. And that should be done. That sort of duty should be discharged. This is Diksha, Dibhagyan, to give Dibhagyan. the non-mundane, supernatural, transcendental. Hare Krishna. Yes, no more today.
Okay, Guru. Jai Om Vishnu.
The temple is constructed.
Oh,
you're born there.
I didn't have a chance, but I was wanted very much to go there.
And just over the way, the Jagannath chariot is drawn on the left side. There in Puri, he was born.
It's right off Grand Road.
Grand Road. Yes. Grand Road, and chariot going on the left side.
Is it where the Gaudiya Math ashram is now?
Madhava Maharaj has got an ashram there. He purchased the land and the constructed temple and ashram there.
Oh.
Madhava Maharaj, busy.
Then I was there. By mistake.
Then where Mahaprabhu lived. Mahaprabhu, he stayed there for 18 years. That is?
Gambira.
Then Haridas Thakur, Samadhi, Tung. Then Galadhar Pandit's temple, that Kirchara Gopinath. Then on this side there is a garden house, Jagannath Ballabh, where Ramananda stayed, lived. Ramananda Rai.
Ramananda Rai.
Then there is Sarbhauma's house. So many.
Very interesting, holy dome.
Partha Mitra and myself visited a lot of those places.
Hare Krishna.
But not all of them.
Did you get any trace of Jatirtha Maharaj, that side?
Jatirtha, no. No, I didn't.
DBI or
news.
Partha?
Gopal Bhatta. Yes, Gopal Bhatta. He was the son of Venkata Bhatta, in whose house Mahaprabhu stayed for 4 months continuously. On the banks of Kaveri, Sri Rangam, the highest holy place of Ramanuja Sampradaya, Sri Rangam, near Trichinopoli, Trichy, on the banks of Kaveri River, Sri Rangam. There lived one Ramanuja Vaishnava Venkata Bhatta, and Mahaprabhu was guest in house for 4 months continuous during Chaturmasya. And his boy was Gopal Bhatta. And his brother, one Prabodhananda. Both of them followed Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. By call of Mahaprabhu, both of them came to Vrindavan. Prabodhananda, Gopal Bhatta's previous guru and uncle, paternal uncle, he lived in Sri Kunda, Kamavan, in Vrindavan. And Gopal Bhatta, he lived in Vrindavan, in the association of Rup Sanatan, as he was asked by Mahaprabhu to do so. Gopal Bhatta once came from Vrindavan to Puri to see Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Dev. And Mahaprabhu asked him to go stay in Vrindavan under the guidance of Rup Sanatan, Rup and Sanatan. He did that. He established a temple there, that Radharaman Gira at present in Vrindavan. That is the temple of Gopal Bhatt. First he came from Vishtadvaitavad, but he joined this Gauriya Sampradaya, Gopal Bhatt. It is said that he started the temple with phalogram, but once some merchants came to visit Vrindavan and he offered many jewelry, the ornaments, to the deities. And Gopal Bhatt thought, my deity is only shalogram. If mine would have been a deity figure, then I could get many ornaments and decorate my lord. It is said that in the morning he saw that from shalogram a deity has come out, the Krishna Murti. And just on the back, in a part, that shalogram is connected. And that was spread, and the greatness of the deity and the temple had much was admiration and the propaganda. Radha Raman was the name of the deity. Radha.
Radha Raman.
Yes. Then, at present, whom we find, they are the disciple of, household of disciple of Gopal Bhatt. They are living there and continuing the seva. Generally, they are scholars, study about Sanskrit and the different scriptures. Jiva Goswami has written this Bhagavata Sandarbha. He has mentioned there this the original rough copy of Gopal Bhatt. I have systematized them. I have grouped them in a system. First, the epistemology, that is Bhagavat Tattva Sandarbha, then Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, Priti Sandarbha. Six parts of Bhagavat Sandarbha, or Sat Sandarbha, that was compiled by Jiva Goswami. And there is the reference that Gopal Bhatt left some notes and scattered here and there. And I have consulted the notes by Gopal Bhatt, and making a system, I have producing this book, Bhagavat Sandarbha. Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, he compiled Holy Bhakti Vilas, the Vaishnava treatise, book, where this deity worshipping and the formalities of Vaishnava Dharma, that how to fast in Janmashtami day, how to manage the worshipping and the different deities, all these things are mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti, Vaishnava Smriti. How one, a devotee, will pass his days. How should we worship? How the temples, how the Vrata, how Harinam should be taken? Details has been given in Hari Bhakti Vilas, a big Smriti Gantha. He has also mentioned that I have taken I have compiled this with the help of the southern Brahmin Gopal Bhatta. His collection, and I am only preparing the Chika, the commentary of it. Sanatana Goswami, both Sanatana and Jeev both referred to Gopal Bhatta for their books. Gopal Bhatta came from the Ramanuj section, Vaishnava section, and also from the Brahmin class. That is Gopal Bhatta. There was one disciple of Gopal Bhatta by name Harivamsa. He was of a little different type, something like Sahaja. He was seen one day to chew betel nut in the Ekadashi, fasting day. But an objection was raised by other disciples of Gopal Bhatta against him, his god brother, Harivamsa. And there was some quarrel. And it is said that he got some support from Prabodhananda, because Prabodhananda wrote many Sanskrit books, a very good Sanskrit and very fervent and emotional. Vrindavan Shataka, Navadvip Shataka, Radha Rasa Sudhani, the famous book in praise of Radharani. These books are very much appreciated by that section, Harivamsi, who came from the Harivamsa as their main guru. First Guru Harivamsa started a section, then Harivamsi. Harivamsa himself was disciple of Gopal Bhatta, but some difference. Little slackness in the strict life of a ascetic life of a devotee. Little slackness, that Harivamsa. That comes from Gopal Bhatta, we are told. We also, the day of the disappearance of today or tomorrow, yesterday,
yes,
Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was a disciple of Srinivasa Acharya. We are told he has a very beautiful figure and a beautiful mind also. He had one house nearby Narottam Thakur, Padda River. On the other side, the left side of Padda, big river coming from Ganges, there was Narottam, and on this side, right side, the residence of Ramchandra Kaviraj and his elder brother Govinda Kaviraj. Govinda Kaviraj was a devotee of Shakti.